Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Today is the day that we in the church celebrate, as Brother Jim was talking around downstairs this morning, the anniversary of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And in the church circles, it's known as Palm Sunday. What happened some 2,000 years ago this upcoming week changed everything. It changed all of history and eventually will change all of creation. It changed the present circumstances and the eternal destiny of all mankind. When our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom and as a sacrificial love offering for all of us, it radically transformed everything the world knew about Almighty God from that time forward. Jesus made a way through his death and resurrection for every person that's born on earth to experience a rebirth, to have a transformation of their spirit that can only come from trusting God the Father and his plans and his purposes for their life. Jesus made a way for us to experience life in a whole new way, a way that's cleansed and purified by the Holy Spirit. And as we celebrate and think about this week, what everything that was accomplished, we have the privilege as believers in Jesus Christ to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit and a life spent coming to know more and more of our Heavenly Father. Amen. In a way that people yearn for thousands of years. This was the week that Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah, the prophets Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of them that we read about in the Old Testament and all the other saints that we read about, they look forward to with anticipation to what this week that was going to happen. This was the week that all of heaven had been looking for since the fall of man. This was the week that Jesus would begin the final steps of completing his mission and his ministry here on the earth. So today, on what we call Palm Sunday, we take time to reflect and remember what transpired that day when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Thousands upon thousands of followers surrounded him. And as we read this morning, they surrounded him with praise. They surrounded him with prophecies, with prayers, with palm branches. While many others who had gathered there for the Passover feast were maybe getting a glimpse of him for the very first time in their life. You had a mix. But it's been estimated that at that time there could have been 1 to 2 million people that day in Jerusalem. It wasn't just a small little ragtag group gathering. It was a huge gathering. All the Jews had to return to Jerusalem for the Passover. So the streets were packed. Amen? And whatever a person's relationship with Jesus Christ that morning, it certainly was a spectacle that they and the world would never forget. Palm Sunday is one of those events that's found in all four of the Gospels. You know, there's things in the life of Jesus and in the ministry of Jesus that may be in the book of Matthew, but it's not in the book of John. And there may be things in the book of Luke that may not be in the book of Mark. Very few that are in all four of them. And this is one of them. So here in John chapter 12, it's also found in Matthew 21 verses 1 through 17, Mark 11, 1 through 11, and Luke 19, 29 through 40. But I'm going to be just concentrating on John chapter 12 this morning, starting in verse 12, reading from the New American Standard. Says, on the next day, when the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, indeed the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, said on it, as it is written, do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things for him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went out to meet him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are not accomplishing anything. Look, the world has gone after him. Hallelujah. Before Jesus come into Jerusalem that day, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And all that excitement, all that those people that had seen that were now telling everybody else, this is Jesus that's coming into town. He's the mighty prophet. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been looking for. Whatever they were telling about him, they were telling him that he raises people from the dead. He heals the sick. He casts out demons from people. His fame preceded him. This morning, I want to spend a little time looking at one aspect of Jesus' triumphant entry here on Palm Sunday. It's a little different than the traditional Palm Sunday message, but I believe it's one that will encourage you and prepare you and prepare your hearts for this coming week and all that it means to the believers in Christ. And it's something simple, and we read over it many times, but it's something that just kind of grabbed my attention. It's the use of the palm branches. When you read about it in the King James and many other versions, palm branches are only mentioned in the book of John. They're not mentioned in the other Gospels. The other Gospels of Mark and Matthew speak about branches being cut from trees. They never mention palm trees. And Luke doesn't mention branches at all when you read that account. He just talks about people throwing their coats out into the street. So have you ever wondered the significance or the symbolism of the palm tree branches, or what they represent in the life of Christ, or what they represent to us, what they represent to the world? We all know that certain trees and plants and animals, things take on a life bigger than their own. They come to represent certain ideas and thoughts. A red rose, for instance, signifies love. A white rose, on the other hand, signifies purity and innocence. The oak tree is a symbol of strength and stability and endurance. The olive tree is a symbol of prosperity and peace and harmony. Amen? But there's a scripture reference that I want to look at in particular this morning that shows the significance of the palm tree to the children of Israel. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Starting in verse 22. Exodus 15, 22, and I'm going to read the King James Version. It says, So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters at Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So we have the story and the account of Moses leading the nation of Israel across the Red Sea. Immediately following their deliverance from Egypt, the people were in a situation that was completely foreign to them. Remember, and we tend to forget this sometimes, that the people of Israel didn't have a clear picture of who God was. Amen? They didn't have the Old Testament yet. They didn't have the tabernacle in the wilderness. They hadn't had the Mount Sinai experience. All that they had to go on was what Moses and Aaron had told them. Amen? The Passover, they'd experienced that. And then the crossing of the Red Sea. Only 3 days had passed since that miracle deliverance at the Red Sea. But they quickly allowed their situation to lead to fear, to lead to murmuring, and to lead to complaining. And we could preach a whole different sermon about that. But God still graciously dealt with them and began to reveal to them some of his nature and character by demonstrating to them and revealing to them who he was. Aren't you glad that God is continually revealing to you who he is? Do you know a lot more about God today than you did when you first got saved?
Yes.
You better.
I hope so.
If you don't, you need to find a different church. Amen? You better know more about who God is than what you used to. The children of Israel didn't know anything about God. All they had experienced was that Moses told them that God was delivering them out from the nation of Israel. Let my people go so we can go worship. And that they just followed Moses and Aaron. They didn't know anything about God. But God, through their deliverance, God through the Passover, God through the Red Sea, had been revealing himself to them. And they didn't even know it. Amen? He revealed and demonstrated his character and his nature long before they knew what his name was. Yes. And what they were to call him. Through his actions, he revealed to them who he was to them, whether they recognized it or not. It's the same way he is to people in the world today. He is their Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether they recognize it or not. That's who he is. He started showing them If you look at in the context of what had happened, that he was Jehovah Shabaoth, the Lord of the heavenly armies, the King of the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. Always there to defend them, to fight their battles for them, to win their wars. They've just seen a little bit of that. There is no enemy that he can't defeat. It's what happened to Pharaoh and his army. He showed them, this is who I am. This is the God that you're following. He also revealed to them that he was Jehovah Nissi, their standard bearer, their flag. That's what the word Nissi means. It's a flag or a standard that's raised up so that those in the army could see. You ever see those old movies where the flag bearer goes down and the next person running behind him picks the flag up and keeps running with it? It's the flag bearer. Well, when you serve in God and God is the king of your life and he's the Lord of your life, he is your standard bearer. He is your banner. Amen? The same God who was there for them would continue to give them victory and give them hope. That's what that standard bearer is for. You look to him. You look, the flag's still moving forward. The standard's still moving forward. The one you look for in the midst of a battle to draw strength from. The nation of Israel, they didn't even know it yet, but God was Jehovah Nissi to them. The same rod that Moses had thrown down in the presence of Pharaoh was the same rod that he lifted up at the Red Sea. It would be the same rod that he would hold up when they fought the battle with Amalek. And remember, every time that he lowered his hands, Amalek would start winning. But every time that they would prop his arms up, the nation of Israel would win. Amen? He's Jehovah Nissi. He was there for them. He told them right here. Told them through Moses. That I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Amen? They just needed to trust him, trust his word, listen to him. He would take care of them. He was revealing himself to them as Jehovah Ra, their shepherd, the one who feeds them and takes care of them. And leads them into greener pastures. Amen? Always there looking out for them. In his grace and his mercy, when they were beginning to get stressed out and fear was starting to set in, he brought them to a place called Elim. It's called the place of trees, where there was abundant water and there was abundant palm trees. When you're talking about biblical history in the nation of Israel, it's easy to understand why the palm tree was so important to them when you look more closely at it. While other plants could not withstand the arid and harsh environment in the Middle East, there's one particular palm out of the 2,700 varieties or so that not only was able to survive in that environment, but it thrived. It's called the date palm. One of the reasons the date palm was so significant to the nation of Israel was its resourcefulness and its bountifulness. It's said that people in the ancient world found 360 different uses for the date palm tree. It provided everything for them. Hallelujah. From the fruit, they would get food, jams and jellies, and they would make all kinds of drinks. Dates are rich in vitamins B1, B2, B3, B5, A, and C. It's full of fiber, calcium, iron, phosphorus, sulfur, potassium, copper, magnesium, and manganese. All of them, which if you listen to your doctors, you need every one of those in your diet. From its branches, they made ropes, rigging, baskets, and roofing materials. From different parts of the tree, they made medicine. From its straight lumber, they were able to make beams and building materials. From its sap, they made spices. They used its pods to cook with. They used it as firewood. And for a time, they used it even as money. It was not an accident. It wasn't a coinkydink. That when God brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea, brought them out there, said, "You just need to trust me." Amen. Even in the midst of their unbelief, even in the midst of their fear, they didn't know any better. That's God's grace. Right? He brought them to this place that had 12 wells, one for each tribe of the children of Israel, and it had 70 trees, one for each of the 70 elders of Israel. It was not a mistake. It was not an accident. In the same way, it wasn't an accident that day when Jesus rode in Jerusalem that day. It wasn't an accident that people were waving palm branches, a symbol of God's goodness and God's provision. Amen? While preparing for the Passover, remember Genesis 22:8, where Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that day, they may have not realized what they were doing. Amen. As it said, the disciples didn't know about it until afterwards. Amen. And then things began to click. Oh yeah. That's what happened. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. Oh yeah, that's what happened. Oh yeah, we thought we were just grabbing palm tree branches because they were abundant and they were close. No, it was much more than that. It was symbolic of the thing that they'd looked to for provision for years. Ever since they'd been delivered from bondage in Egypt, something that had been there for them. Jesus rode in and they laid it all at his feet. Amen. Signifying he was the one who was going to take care of every need that they had from then on. Amen? The purpose of Jesus riding into Jerusalem that day was to make public his claim that he was the Messiah and he was the King of Israel in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. The book of Matthew says that the king coming on the foal of a donkey was the exact fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. It reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah predicted it would happen over 500 years before Jesus was born. His ministry was no longer private, but was made known to everyone. Before that, remember, he tells his disciples and others who he healed and delivered to be quiet about him. Don't tell anybody. Remember? Throughout the Gospels, when you read time and time again, Jesus told them to go home and tell their family, but don't go tell everybody. But people couldn't take it. They went and told everybody anyway. Amen? But now, something changed. He was allowing them to shout his praise. He was allowing them to shout adoration, to worship him openly for all the world to hear. It was a significant change. The people responded by spreading their cloaks and palm branches before him as an act of homage fit for a king. They had seen him do countless miracles, raise people from the dead, provide food for thousands, and deliver those who were tormented by the devil. God was still dealing with mankind graciously. He had continued to reveal to them his nature and his character. But now, through his grace and his mercy, he had demonstrated it to them and revealed it to them through his Son. The Word of God says of Jesus in Hebrews 1:3 that he was the express image of his person, the exact character representation of who God is. Jesus revealed it to all mankind. Amen. Here he was, Jehovah Nissi in the flesh, the one who would give them victory and hope. He was Jehovah Rapha, their healer, Jehovah Ra, their shepherd, the one who had fed them, the one who had become their friend. And although they didn't fully recognize it at the time, he was riding in Jerusalem as the one who was going to sanctify them, the one who was going to redeem them, the one who was going to make them righteous and holy in the sight of Almighty God. He was Jehovah Makadesh and Jehovah Tsidkenu. Hallelujah. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, there were thousands upon thousands of people there. The Pharisees were upset because they said, the whole world's going after this guy. With a crowd that size, you had to decide how close you wanted to get to Jesus. Couldn't have been easy. People everywhere. People smacking your face with palm branches, waving their coat around. Right? I mean, it couldn't have been easy. People throwing stuff out into the street, praising God. It wasn't just a little quiet parade. It was tumultuous, I would imagine. There were people just screaming and shouting praises to God. That's what the Word says. They were shouting out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They were saying, "You're the one whom God has sent." Matthew says the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna means literally to save us now. The people were literally shouting, "You're the one God has sent. Save us now. You're the one God has sent. Save us now." Hallelujah. The same God who in just a few short days had revealed to the children of Israel spiritual principles that transformed their lives, if they would only listen, would also within a few short days transform the lives of those in the crowd, if only they would listen. The same revelations that have the power to transform your life also. He's your protector. He's the one who will fight on your behalf, your healer and provider. It does not matter how harsh a life you may have had, how dry and desperate things may look at the present, God wants you to know that he's there for you, if you'll just trust him. Just like when God brought the children of Israel to a place where all their needs would be provided for a time, a place where they could rest and be refreshed, he will do the same for you. The thing is, each of us must choose how close we want to get to Jesus. Do we want to be the ones laying our coats and branches before him, or the ones hanging back in the crowd, just close enough to get a glimpse of him, but not close enough where we might make eye contact. Amen? One of the most interesting things I found out about the date palm tree, and it's very unique, and it's the way that it grows, where its heart's located. The date palm, unlike most all other trees, grows from the center out. It grows from the inside out. The main stem, the heart of the palm, is what keeps the palm standing upright. It's what keeps it alive. The heart is a soft, delicate structure that's protected by a tough trunk. Have you ever seen what happens when someone puts a wire or maybe even puts staples fence or hammers, nails a fence to a tree? Even an oak tree or a hedge apple tree that grows up in a fence line. Over time, that bark will grow over the tree. The oak tree will, in effect, envelop the wire. In a matter of years, it looks like the wire is growing out of the tree. Not something you want to find with your chainsaw. Right? The palm tree is vastly different. It grows from the inside out. If you put a wire around a date palm tree, something different would happen. Instead of the wire becoming a part of the tree would actually grow and expand until the wire broke. When I read that, just all kinds of symbolism, all kinds of things just started rushing through my mind. Amen? You know, that tree, much more symbolic than what we would imagine. We don't want to be oak tree Christians. We want to be date palm tree Christians. Amen? We want to be the people that grow from the inside out. Amen. The same way you and I grow in Christ, we grow from the inside out. Our inner man is born again and made unto alive to God, and then we're to grow. We're to grow from drawing on the redemptive strength and the power that Jesus puts within us. We're to grow in the revelation of who we are in Christ. We're to grow in our revelation of who God is. Sometimes we're just hoping and praying that God would break those chains in areas of our lives where we struggle. When we have the ability, and the Lord just dropped this into my heart when I was typing this out. We have the ability to grow and be strengthened in our inner man to the point where the chains can't hold us any longer. Amen. Pop. Amen. The palm tree wasn't just, they're plentiful here. The palm tree was something that represented God to the nation of Israel. Something that provided, it was their provider. It provided sustenance. It provided medicine. It provided vitamins. It provided building materials. It provided everything. Everything that God wants to provide for us. You know, when Solomon built the temple, there was three things that he engraved in the walls of the temple and overlaid with gold. One of them was cherubim. One of them was the date palm tree leaf, and flowers was the third. Significant. Amen? He is Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. Amen? Separates something to make it holy. God sets us apart as His children. When we become believers, He sanctifies us and makes us holy because we are incapable of it on our own. When Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, that all those people were all looking at him as a natural king. Well, the vast majority, can't say all, we don't know. But they were looking at him as the king that was going to overthrow the Roman government. But Jesus had other plans. Amen. When the nation of Israel came out of bondage and came out of their deliverance from the nation of Egypt and Pharaoh and his army, they came to the place of the trees. It wasn't just something there that they were, well, this is it. This is where we're just going to settle, right here. No, God had much more for them. Amen? God wants to take us all much deeper. He wants to reveal himself to us much more than we ever dreamed. Just getting saved is just the start. Amen? When Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, it was just the start of that Holy Week. It wasn't a culmination. It was just the start of what Jesus had planned that week. What God had planned. Amen? We just can't stay where we're at. We just can't stay on the last revelation we got of who God is to us. Say, well, praise God. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen? He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. But he wants to be much more than that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to get a hold of that. We just need to, it wasn't just stopping of a revelation, the completion of it. It was just God was revealing more and more. And he still reveals more and more to us as we read his word. So this Palm Sunday, we just need to rejoice in the fact that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, he did it with a purpose. He did it so that you and I could have a revelation of who God is personally. Amen? God had been revealing himself to the nation of Israel for thousands of years. And through Jesus' ministry in 3.5 years, he revealed so much more about himself. And through his word, he's revealed even more to us of who he is. We can rejoice. Praise God. Amen? The Bible is very clear on the fact that our outward man is forever perishing. We see that every day when we wake up and look in the mirror. Amen? That fact does not have to apply to our spirit man. Our spirit man should be growing. It's the total reverse. Our natural man is aging and some falling apart in some areas. Amen? But if you're a child of God, it's reversed the other way. Our spirit man is able to constantly be renewed, to flourish, to mature. Our hearts, our spiritual minds and souls are able to continually mature more and more into being like Jesus. As the children of God, we want to be like the date palm, living and growing and vibrant on the outside. There's date palm trees that are hundreds of years old and are still producing fruit. Say, well, just because my body's old and this old physical body doesn't give us an excuse. We're to still be producing fruit in our lives. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit. Producing fruit of leading people to Jesus. Amen. We can, through the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit, continually be growing in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can be on a continual upward trajectory, living a life of righteousness and holiness. And we can do all those things because of what happened that week when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Amen. They were calling him the king. They were saying that he is our king. That was a prophecy. They may have meant it in a certain way, but God meant it in a totally different way. Amen. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, a name that's above every name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you, Father, for just sending Jesus for us. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. And Father, we thank you and praise you that we can know you in even a greater way than we've ever known you before. Lord, just reveal yourself to us in a mighty way this week. Reveal your goodness and your mercy, your grace, your power. Whatever it is that those sitting here and those listening to this podcast, whatever need that they have, Father, just like the children of Israel, where you met every need at every step of the way, whether it's their deliverer, whether it's their provider, Lord, their healer, just thank you and praise you in the same way that you revealed yourself to them, that you'll just continue to reveal yourself to each and every one of us. We thank you for that, praise you for that, and give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.